Don't forget, if you want to text us today, you can do so to 086 38 33 55 3. That's 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us. And we did give you a chance, by the way. We did give you a chance to win in association with the team at Arran Island Ferries. And we played our cue to call and we did all of that. So we did earlier on. And you all entered in your droves from there. So we'll be announcing the overall winner in a few minutes' time. Stay tuned for that. Now, don't forget, too, if you want to email us something, you can do so. Just email comments, C-O-M-M-E-N-T-S, at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie for further details from there. Quite a few calls coming in to us today as well. I just need to clear this and then I can get them down. A lot of people want to go to the Arran Islands, I have to say, just looking here. And Keith, this caller said, I fully agree with you in relation to Father Tony Flannery. That poor man has been treated so badly by the church in general. And that letter you received must have just added insult to injury. I didn't even go there, to be honest. Keith, please do try and get Father Flannery reinstated. We neglected to protest sufficiently years ago, but still not too late to do so. I would help in any way that I can, and as would many, to try and get him to where he should be, which is back in ministry again. And a good few other calls coming in there as well. Now, let me go to Councillor John Connolly, who joins me on the line, because we're staying with young people, indeed, and the lack of facilities for them. But John joins me on the line today. John, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Just, you're calling for much-needed and enhanced ADHD support for Galway CAMHS. Now, you've given us a practical situation of a young person that needs support but can't just get it. Why?
Well, I think what's important to say, Keith, last year the Mental Health Commission did a review of all CAMHS services in each community health organisation
throughout
the country.
Yeah.
And we discussed it after that. But as well as that, they then did a general review of CAMHS services nationally. And one of the findings that came out of that was that most referrals to CAMHS services were for ADHD. In some parts of the country, referrals were as high as 50% of those to the CAMHS services. Here in Galway, in Mayo Roscommon, the referral rate was just under 30%. And despite that, there is a lack of an ADHD pathway. And the Mental Health Commission report actually said there was an inequity of service provision had arisen, whereby urgent cases being necessarily prioritised ahead of routine referrals, causing a delay in access to ADHD services. Now, in one CHO in the country, there is a specialist ADHD facility. A second one has now been funded in the Cork Kerry area, and you'll recall, and listeners will recall, that was an area where there was considerable controversy about the services provided to children there. And what I'm looking for now is that we would have that service in our CAMHS in Galway. And in fairness, I have to say, Keith, the Mental Health Commission have echoed that we need these specialist ADHD clinics rolled out throughout the country. The service in Dublin, Keith, like it sounds like a wonderful service. I haven't met any service users, but from the description of it in the Mental Health Commission's report and from their own publications, it sounds like a very holistic service. It's a specialist service.
Can I cut across you there? Sorry now, but I mean, what happens? So we say that a young person or parents bring somebody, one of their children, to a doctor, and the doctor deems that this person should be referred in relation to ADHD and be referred to CAMHS. What happens then? Take me on that journey.
Well, what happens then, Keith, is CAMHS assess that referral and they categorise it as emergency, urgent or routine. And most ADHD referrals are classified as routine.
Give me those three again. So they classify
emergency.
Them. Yeah.
Emergency, urgent, or routine. And the vast majority of ADHD referrals are classified as routine. And because of that, they have the longest waiting list to access assessment and subsequent services. So if you took again CHO2, the waiting list is 4 months for an ADHD referral. The average waiting list from when the referral is made to when the assessment is made, it's a 4 month wait. Now, again, I have to say, Keith, in parts of the country, it's much worse. It's up in 9 months in other CHO areas. But still, for a family who have this concern about their child and the upset and the concern that would cause in the home, a 4 month wait is quite a substantial period of time. And after that, Keith, again, because ADHD doesn't have the specialist clinic in Galway or in many other places throughout the country, the actual treatment of the ADHD is also delayed, and the type of interventions that are used, you know, are not what they are in the areas of the country where there are the specialist ADHD clinics.
But Councillor Connolly, I'm not being smart when I say this, but when you say emergency, urgent and routine, emergency is an emergency, urgent is an emergency also, and routine, from what you're saying to me, should be treated as an emergency or as well.
Yeah, I think, Keith, many of the families who have had referrals to CAMHS will be a bit surprised that there isn't the specialist ADHD clinic in Galway. I think many people feel that when they get the referral, that they're on a pathway to, you know, good treatment.
So what is in Galway if we don't have...
Well, what's in Galway, Keith, is a CAMHS service. And the CAMHS deals with all types of mental health difficulties that young people suffer. So obviously, I mean, some of them are of a very emergency nature, suicidal ideation, severe depression, eating disorder, psychosis, and they also deal with ADHD referrals.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is, if there was the ADHD specialist clinic, it would relieve the direct CAMHS involvement, I suppose, in those cases, even though some of those children will also need other CAMHS facilities. But it will provide specialist treatment for children who are being referred with ADHD. And Keith, it's important to note as well, and I think people will be aware of this, you know, that the delay in the assessment, the delay in the prognosis, you know, that can also have an effect on subsequent life. And it would be, I think it's unfair for us to treat children, I suppose, as you're saying to me, in a routine manner that present with ADHD challenges.
But I'm thinking of the family. I'm thinking of the young person in question. And then this elongated rigmarole that we're talking about here and not having it dedicated. So what you're saying to me, that CAMHS is there, and they got a very favourable report, by the way, did CAMHS in Galway, but CAMHS is there. But you're saying that there needs to be a standalone ADHD unit created in Galway that can get to them quicker rather than again, just filling up the whole CAMHS situation. You're saying separate to all of that, we need an ADHD unit to deal with that. And then that has to be executed very quickly because you've the young person, well, the family and the extended family. And what is it doing to their mental health?
Yeah, I'm saying that, Keith, and I'm saying that on the basis that there are these specialist facilities in other parts of the country. And at the most recent Health Forum meeting, I proposed a motion that was unanimously accepted by the members that, you know, the HSE, the Department of Health, would provide the necessary funding to make sure that these specialist clinics were rolled out across the country. Subsequent to that then, I wrote to local health authorities here asking that we would be, I suppose, progressive and that we would formulate our own policy whereby we would seek to include in our own budgets for next year, or seek the funding to include in our own budgets for next year, a specialist ADHD clinic.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting topic, but I mean, it's to try and get the Department of Health, and we spoke about this yesterday, about a situation in Tuam and a meeting that took place there last week as well. And Minister Anne Rabbitt, I mean, has thrown her weight behind it altogether, and perhaps vexed certain people because she attended the meeting and they didn't want her there. So I'm just wondering how this can be done as well, just to try and get it sorted.
Yeah, well, I would hope, Keith, that, you know, having passed the motion at the Health Forum, having written to the local officials, the fact that the Mental Health Commission are supporting it and proposing it, that we would move on it. I think, Keith, you know, for families, like you mentioned, I'm thinking of the families as well. You know, when families compare what the treatments that their child might get in a regular CAM service that doesn't have the ADHD facility, and they compare it to what the ADHD facility is providing in Dublin, and now, as it will, probably in Cork and Kerry, it says that the ADHD specialist team will provide information about ADHD, outline further treatment options, and develop a care plan with the young person and their family. And they will also run specific ADHD groups, including a parent program to help parents. And I think that's really important. And in fact, internationally, Keith, there's evidence that's suggesting that that should be the first step in helping a child and helping the family with dealing with ADHD.
Okay, where do you go with it now?
Well, as I said, I've written to the local health officials. I'm awaiting the response. But I certainly feel, you know, and in fairness, I'm sorry to hear that happened to Anne. It's something I might take up with Anne as well, and with Minister Donnelly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, she's going above and beyond, I have to say, and certainly in the Tuam situation. She's going above and beyond. I spoke to her last night about it as well. But, yeah, some people don't want her in the room because perhaps if she's in the room, they have to have somebody from the Department of Health maybe with her in the room as well, rather than the local HSE. But it's a bizarre situation, so it is, to be quite honest. Thank you, Dee, for joining us, Councillor John Connolly, and have a good and a safe Easter. Thank you for joining us. Today on the programme.
Plugged In is exactly what it means. A show that is plugged into the pulse of the Irish music industry and presented by Gary Curran. Plugged In features music, news, interviews and all the latest from Ireland's exciting live music circuit. To know what's happening in the Irish music scene, get plugged in every Thursday from 7 to 8pm in association with Play Open Mic on Monday nights at the Cellar Eglinton Street. Only on Galway Bay FM, the sound of Galway.
Bucketing down, fierce cold, splitting the stones. There are many phrases that paint the Irish weather. Thankfully, there's a paint that can protect your home against it. Dulux Weather Shield. The Weather Shield Advantage Triple Protect formula offers a durable mold resistance formula defending your home against the elements, superior coverage with every stroke for maximum value, and beautiful colors expertly chosen to last year after year. So don't just paint your home, protect it with Dulux Weather Shield, our superior exterior paint.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Do you need to get your hearing tested? Test your hearing with a free sample hearing aid from Hidden Hearing. Order your free sample hearing aid today. Call 1-800-370-000 or visit hiddenhearing.ie. Hidden Hearing, your hearing is their expertise.
Hello, this is Paul from Smartfoot Hearing in Galway. Hearing loss is very common, especially as we get older. You may notice it becoming increasingly difficult to keep up with conversations or even need the television turned up louder than before. At SmartFit Hearing, we specialise in supplying high-quality hearing aids which are completely paid for by the government's PRSI grant scheme. So if you or someone you know could benefit from this service, then call us today to arrange an appointment on 091 393 166. That's 091 393 166.
Health tips brought to you by Flanagan's Total Health Pharmacy, Shop Street, Galway.
This is Clodagh from Flanagan's Total Health Pharmacy in Shop Street, and today I want to talk to you about coughs and colds. Most coughs and colds in children will clear up by themselves if the child is eating healthily and staying hydrated. Children over 6 can take over-the-counter cough medication. In the case of breathlessness, excessive wheeziness, or the cough worsening at night, consult your doctor.
Health tips brought to you by Flanagan's Total Health Pharmacy, Shop Street, Galway.
Total Health, trusted local care.
Communion and confirmation time is now in full swing at Anthony Ryan's Children's Fashion Floor, with wonderful collections for boys and girls. We have exquisite, tasteful communion dresses for girls and fashionable communion wear for boys, and our confirmation wear for girls and boys is the fashion gear they really want. For communion and confirmation wear, look no further than Anthony Ryan's in the heart of Galway. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 6pm and Sunday, 12:30 to 5pm.
No, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. I want to go back to COVID. I'm joined in studio by Brian Lynch, who's a solicitor in town in Galway City. And he's done a lot of work when it comes to various illnesses indeed. But he sits up to me today because we're looking at long COVID today. Brian, good morning to you. How are you today?
Good morning, Keith. Thanks very much for having me this morning.
You've written a book as well, so you have. I'll talk about the book in a moment on this one. But you have legally, you've looked at the whole MRSA side of things, and you've worked in this field, and you're now looking at COVID as well.
We are. A number of people who have worked for the HSE have been, I suppose, disgruntled because they haven't been looked after by the HSE. There was a COVID clinic in the hospital. I know of a person who worked for the HSE who got COVID 5 times. At one stage, it took him 5 months to get an interview with the doctors to see was he healthy enough to go back to work at a time when he thought he was healthy to go back to work. So with the spread of COVID in the hospital, we did a large number of cases where people who contracted MRSA. And the legislation in Ireland is unique. It was brought in by two doctors in 1946. And those doctors said that if a person contracts an infectious disease, which COVID is an infectious disease, if they contract it, contact that disease in a hospital, and the hospital fails to take a precaution, not a reasonable precaution, a precaution. And then if the person gets the COVID in the hospital, it's up to the hospital to prove that the transfer of the disease to that person wasn't caused by the failure to take that precaution, which means that the bonus...
Even though it's a pandemic?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, because, like for instance, when there was TB in Ireland, people were dying of TB when they brought in this legislation.
Yeah.
And it was doctors who brought it in, and they put the onus on the hospital to do it. So there was a huge number but leaving aside the liability for it, these people were, the HSE workers were employed by the HSE. More than likely got the infection in the hospital. It's not a matter of the hospital saying you must have got it somewhere else. The likelihood is they got it in the hospital because it's where they were working.
Mm.
And on the balance of probabilities they got in the hospital. But these people now are out of work because they can't go back. And you see, one of the things about this infection was, it was called the viral load. The more of the virus you got, the greater the damage you got. So if you were passing somebody in the street, or you're on a lift with somebody, or an airplane with somebody, and you picked up COVID, the likelihood is it wouldn't be as big a viral load as working in a hospital environment where somebody was sick with it.
Yeah.
So it got worse. And I have met people who are seriously ill with COVID who've pleaded with me to make this case.
And what can you do about it? Or what can you do now as a solicitor in this field?
Well, the first thing about it is that people should go in to see their own solicitors to discuss this with them. And I'm not talking about, the law applies everywhere, and the law isn't a remedy. But I think that the tension would be eased off if the HSE did more for the people who were injured. People are not always necessary into taking legal actions. They want help.
But is that not common sense? That if somebody knocks on the door and said, "Look, I was out for 6 months or otherwise, and you know I need to be assessed by a doctor so that I can go back to work because I need to go back to work because I have to put food on the table."
Exactly.
But are you saying that HSE are not doing that? Is that at a local or national level?
It's at a national level. Like Professor Jack Lambert, who is the person the head person in Ireland in charge of infectious diseases, he's been before Dáil committees and he's been interviewed lots of times on the radio. He made a statement to say that he actually wanted people to get hyperbaric oxygenation, which is a business that I'm also involved in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I know about it. Because it is used now around the world. And it was used around the world when people had COVID. Like, for instance, in China, anybody who had hyperbaric oxygenation in China did not die of COVID. And I asked a Chinese doctor how come so many people in China died. And he said, not all the doctors agree.
I mean, when you say that the lead, Mr. Lambert indeed, not everyone can get the hyperbaric treatment that you're talking about.
Well, I'll just give an example now. In Dublin, there are 6 hospitals who treat people for cancer with radiation treatment. And in the normal course, radiation will cause damage to healthy tissue and people will have side effects from that. The HSE are paying for it, for all of those people in the private places in Dublin. Now, we have a hyperbaric chamber in Galway, underused. It's a different type of
But hang on a second now, just let me go back a bit. Go back to the Dublin situation. I mean, there's hyperbaric chambers in Dublin as well.
There are, yes. There's 2 up there.
So what are you saying to me? That if people are getting radiation in some of the private clinics, are you saying that the hyperbaric is better than the radiation?
No, sorry.
Okay,
No, thanks for that, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's the side effect. See, the radiation will do damage to healthy tissue.
But the radiation could save their life.
Exactly. But yeah. It's about 20% of people would have, they might be incontinent or they might have loss of energy or they might have nausea.
What is your point, though, in relation to the HSE funding in private facilities and yet they're not funding hyperbaric treatment? Can you correlate that for me?
Okay, well, to explain that is that there's a procedure in place already by the HSE in Dublin where 6 hospitals can refer people for private treatment and the 6 hospitals will pay for it for the side effects.
The HSE will pay the 6 hospitals.
Yeah, the 6 hospitals will pay the private clinics in Dublin.
Yeah.
To help people overcome the side effects of radiation treatment.
Okay.
The normal side effects.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're doing that. So that's in place.
Yeah.
They could do it in Galway, for instance, for the same people.
For those on radiation, is it?
Yeah, that's an example. So
okay, but
it's a process in place. So it'd be very easy for them to go and pay for it for people who are suffering for long COVID in the same way.
But has it been proven that long COVID can be treated by this?
Yes.
Is it medically proven?
Yeah, there are excellent studies on it to showing the benefits. Basically, what COVID is, it was a virus. It attacked healthy tissue and left it damaged. It's a bit like describing a house goes on fire. When the fire has gone out, it's what's left behind is leaking pipes and general damage around the house. And that's what the hyperbaric oxygenation comes in. It treats those damaged tissue that are left behind.
And where's that damaged tissue when it comes to COVID?
Well, for instance, you could have it in the brain. People would have it in their taste buds, in their voice. They have lung damage. They have features a bit like our arthritis. All of those types of damage that are caused by COVID.
Going back to the core message that we spoke about before you were coming on air is in relation to long COVID. So we've covered a lot of ground here, but I need to focus. So, I mean, if the HSE workers are listening to us today, there's no point in going to their solicitor. They need to go to their supervisor, surely, do they?
Well, I think so too, because I've actually personally written to the open disclosure office in the hospital saying that this is an adverse event where they're not getting this treatment and they should get it.
The treatment for radiation or the treatment for COVID?
For both COVID. I also mentioned that they're doing surgery for people where people are having amputations. Like the most recent study on amputations for people using hyperbaric oxygenation, 98, this is a study in Holland, a study from 2023, 98% of the people who had hyperbaric oxygenation, who had diabetic foot ulcers, didn't require surgery. That's a huge success rate.
98%.
Yeah. And 30% of that group, that cohort, were having diabetic ulcer treatments, daily treatments, bandage treatments, for 18 months. So they were serious.
But again, scientifically is to get that out there. But I mean, there is a hyperbaric chamber in the hospital as well. Are they using it for that?
They're using it for, my understanding that the current regime is that they're using it for 6 weeks, every 6 months. And they're taking people in there, mainly who have diabetic foot ulcers or post-radiation treatment. They're using it for brain injury as well. And any consultant doctor can refer them. They're using it for recovering from plastic surgery. Like, for instance, Irish Life cover people who come to our chamber in Galway, and they're paying consultants now a fee to refer people to us because they're encouraging it.
Has it been proven?
Oh, absolutely. The science for it is very strong. Like, for instance, in certain instances, normally with a drug, you have what's called randomized control trials, where you have a cohort of people who take Smarties and another cohort of people who take the tablet. That's the idea of it, being randomised. But in a lot of instances, because of the known benefits of hyperbaric oxygenation, it's considered to be unlawful and unethical to deprive somebody of it. Like, for instance, if somebody comes in with a crushed ankle and the bone has come out through the skin and it's compromised, it's in danger of a person getting an amputation, they won't not put a person in a chamber just to see what it would be like in the experiment. So they go back over studies to prove it, and they can say that it does work.
Mm. You've written the book. Tell us about the book. Where can they get this book?
Well, the book is available at Amazon.com and shops. The Kenny's have it, and we have it in the chamber itself. It's called Oxygenation is the Solution. Deaths from COVID-19, Global Legal Insights for Medical Practice, an Insider's Perspective. Now, I wrote the book because it was a book to help doctors understand what can happen with doctors is that sometimes they're afraid to refer a patient to our chamber because they say there isn't evidence for it. But the standard of evidence that is the level to be required is what a reasonable person in the patient's position would like to be told. So it doesn't have to be the same standards as drugs. So doctors are very keen generally to help people. Genuinely want to help them, but sometimes they're afraid of being criticised by their colleagues to refer them. But now this is mainstream medicine. Insurance companies pay for it.
All right, Brian, it's interesting. The book is called, again, Oxygeneration is the Solution, Deaths from COVID-19 and Global Legal Insights for Medical Practice, an Insider's Perspective, and that's by yourself as well. Brian, thanks for popping into us. Further details can be had. You're on Merchants Row there if they want to get further details from there. Brian Lynch, and thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme.
Thank you very much.
And a very good morning to you. Now, let me move on today because I want to go to Galway Gardaí because they're looking for your assistance, so they are. And I'll get to them in just one second. But again, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so today to 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us. That's 086 38 33 55 3. Let me go to Garda Kevin Farley, who joins me on the line today. Kevin, good morning to you.
Morning, Keith.
You've had a busy, busy week, so you have. I want to go, though, to a burglary. And we've a number of them in churches, but the first one is in Gorthmore.
Sorry, Keith. Gardaí and Rossmoke are investigating a burglary that occurred at Goodmore Church, Rossmoke, between the 18th of March and 23rd of March, where damage was caused to the property inside the church. Gardaí and Rossmoke are looking to speak to anyone who witnessed any suspicious activity in the area during this period, or anyone has any information in relation to this incident. Ask to contact Rossmoke Garda Station 091-574-102 or the Gardaí Complex in 1800-666-701.
I might try there, Kevin, just to get you onto, if you're on a headset or otherwise, I might get you just to come off it and just go onto the phone again. So if you can at all help in anywhere, if you spotted anything the day after Monday the 18th, the day after, between that and the 23rd of March, if you spotted anything in the Rossmoke area, you might get in contact with Rossmoke Garda Station 091-574-102. We're sticking indeed with churches and we're going to Unspidgeail next.
That's right, Gardaí and Spidale are investigating a burglary that occurred in Collegia Church on Spidale between 18th of March and the 23rd of March, where access was gained to the church and an attempt was made to take items from the church. Gardaí and Spidale are looking to speak to anyone who may have any information in relation to this instance, or ask to contact on Spidale Garda Station at 091-553122, or indeed any Garda Station.
Now, we're sticking with burglaries and we're still in a church and we're going back out to Indravon, so we are there.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Inverin are investigating a burglary that occurred at Kiltresa Church between the 18th of March and the 19th of March, where access was gained to the church and property was damaged. Gardaí and Inverin are looking to speak to anyone who has any information in relation to this incident, or ask to contact Inverin Garda Station 091-593-102 or the Garda Confidential Line at 1800-666-111 or any Garda Station in relation to this incident or any of the above incidents.
Again, the timings are all fairly similar, so they are. So it might be just one group, but if anybody has any assistance that they can give Galway Gardaí, just give them a call. Now, we're looking at an aggravated burglary at Farran Rí Estate, and you've got details on this, and Gardaí and Ormore and your colleagues are working on this.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Ormore investigating an aggravated burglary incident that occurred on Farran Rí Estate, Dúiscean, 23rd of March. At 11 p.m, where a number of males gained access to the property on the estate, and this group of males proceeded to enter the property and assault family members living at this property. A number of males were observed leaving the property. Anyone who may have witnessed any suspicious activity in the area are asked to contact Ormore Garda Station on 091-388-030, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800-666-111.
Now, we're going to go to Tuam on this one because we have a theft from a motor vehicle in Shop Street in Tuam, and you've got full details, Garda Farley.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Tuam investigating a theft from a taxi that occurred at Shop Street, Tuam, on the 24th of March at approximately 4 a.m, where a male customer of the taxi proceeded to take the taxi driver's card reader and proceeded to run from the taxi. Anyone who has any information in relation to this incident are asked to contact Tuam Garda Station on 093-708-40.
Now, we're looking at criminal damage in Slian Claron as well in Athenry. You have details on this, Garda Farley.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Athenry are investigating a criminal damage incident that occurred on Slian Claron area at 25th of March, 6:45 p.m, where the driver of a work van was approached by a member of the public who became aggressive and then proceeded to kick the wing mirrors off the work van and became aggressive towards the driver. Anyone who was in the area around this time and may have witnessed this incident are asked to contact Athenry Garda Station on 091-844-016 or indeed the Garda Confidence Line on 1800-666-111.
A frightening experience, I have to say. Now, we're looking at criminal damage in Lowville in Ahaskra there as well.
That's right. Gardaí and Ahaskra are investigating criminal damage incidents that occurred at Lowville, Ahaskra, on 24th of March between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m, where the owner of a red Volkswagen Golf discovered the two wing mirrors were kicked off their car. Anyone who may have information relating to this incident are asked to contact Ahaskra Guard Station 090-9688-652.
Now, we're sticking indeed with criminal damage. And we're coming to St. Mary's Church in the Claddagh there as well. This is quite shocking, I have to say, all of these churches.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Galway are investigating a criminal damage incident at the court of St. Mary's Church, Claddagh, on the 22nd of March between 2:30 p.m. and 3:20 p.m, where a full-size Sacred Heart statue was damaged. Gardaí and Galway looking to speak to anyone who has any information in relation to this incident are asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-538-000 or the Garda Confidential Line on 1800-666-111.
Now, we're looking at an assault in our square. I heard about this indeed, but Galway Garda are investigating this.
That's right, Keith. Gardaí and Galway investigating an assault at the court at Air Square at 2 a.m. on the 22nd of March, where a male was walking alone, was then assaulted by another male, where he's kicked and punched. The male received injuries as a result of this assault. Anyone who may have been in the area around this time and witnessed this incident are asked to contact Galway Garda Station on 091-538-000.
Now, we're looking at the theft of a trailer in on Spidgel.
Gardaí on Spidgel investigating the theft of a trailer at the court of Mala Eamon, Spidgel, on the 24th of March, approximately 8 p.m. The owner of the trailer discovered the trailer had been taken from a nearby field. The trailer was an 8x4 double-axle trailer with high sides. Anyone who has any information in relation to this incident are asked to contact on Spidgel Garda Station on 091-553122 or the Garda Confidential Line on 1800-666-111.
And finally, indeed, Gartha Kevin Farley, it's been a busy week for you. Galway United versus Bowes, you just want to remind people.
That's right, Keith. Galway United will play Bowes this Monday, the 1st of April at 7:45 p.m. And again, there'll be traffic restrictions around in and around AMDC Park. And we're expecting large crowds at this match, which is nearly sold out. So we're expecting a large volume of traffic and people will be planning ahead on their journeys near the stadium.
So what you're saying is park responsibly, use public parking, use public transport where possible, and do not try and park on Dyke Road, or do not try and park in any of the adjoining estates as well, and disrupt the people in those estates.
That's right, Keith, exactly. It's going to be busy around the area, and just be wary of parking, as you said, on footpaths. Okay. Gardaí will be enforcing traffic legislation.
And they'll be given tickets if people don't adhere to the law. And Gardaí, Kevin Farley, have a good Easter, and thank you, and to you and your colleagues as well. Thank you for joining us today on the programme. A lot there, by the way. Anything to do with those churches or any of the other incidents, we'll put them up online here as well. And they're there indeed. But if you can assist in any way, you can ring Galway Garda Station on 091-53-8000. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these. Now, very good morning to you. Hi, Keith. There's a huge shortage of bus drivers at present, both with Bus Éireann and the private bus companies. There's also a shortage of taxi drivers. Wouldn't it be great and well-paid jobs for young adults, both men and women? Most of them are able to drive, and otherwise, if they could get on-the-job training and get qualifications, it would get them indeed and give them a good work ethic indeed, and they could go and do a good day's work. Not a bad idea. And but let me go to Councillor Shelley Hertridge-Quinn, who joins me on the line, because she's been trying to get a local bus service for the area, and she joins me on the line. And Councillor Hertridge-Quinn, good morning to you. Oh, I seem to have lost her. Seems to have gone off the system again there. Let me just see if I can get her just back up here again, because she is looking indeed for all stakeholders in the national transport in relation to providing an urgent rural transport, and she joins me on the line now. Councillor Hertridge-Quinn, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. Where exactly are you looking for the local bus service for and to?
Good morning, Keith, and thanks for having me on. So the initial need arose many years ago when we were trying to get, first of all, a local Hackney service. During COVID, there was no possibility for people to get out of their homes, really, unless they drove themselves, if they didn't own a car. We don't have a local, pardon me, transport service here. There is 60 routes listed on the Transport for Ireland website, and they're very, very proud of that. However, only one of those routes mentions Athenry. So Athenry is a catchment area. Well, we have 5,000, approximately 5,000 population now. We're all, as in all communities, we're an aging population. But we do not have, because we're such a broad hinterland, you know, and that speaks to Galway County, the way Galway County is mapped, is designed, where our road infrastructure goes. But because we are so broad here in Athenry, we have people in Derry Donnell and Lishing Kyle. We have people in Newcastle, even out as far as Munavay, Coldwood, who, if they don't own their own car or, you know, have their own transport, cannot get from A to B. They can't get from their own front door into the post office into Athenry. They can't get into the train, the bus, the only bus service here that takes you from, we'll say, Farrell's buses, that take you from, we'll say, Athenry to Loughrea or into Galway. You know, if they're stuck in their own homes. We have the school population who are not driving, who need to depend on their parents because they don't have a reliable bus route. We saw recently the number of bus drivers who retired or took routes off the, well, off the
exactly
roads to school, you know.
What are you looking for then? So are you looking for a dedicated bus route between Loughrea and Athenry? Or what exactly are you looking for?
More local than that, Keith. We have a route going from Athenry to Loughrea and Loughrea to Athenry. We have once a day. Once a day and maybe twice a week or something like this. But more than that, what I want is, I want the NTA to fund a survey, a proper survey of Athenry and all of the hinterland up to 10K, 10 or 12K, because it's 13K to kilometres to Oranmore. And we have a bus rail service to Oranmore. But more locally than that, I want a door-to-door service, Keith. I want a regular bus going around the area, or buses frequently going around the area in the morning, in the evening, taking people to and from Athenry, where they want to go, where they want to use their services here in Athenry, or get on the train and go to Galway or wherever they want to go.
But is that not where the local link service comes in, though?
But they're calling it a local link, but sure, there's nothing local about the link we have here in Athenry. It's from the town centre out to Loughrea. That's it. That's all they provide for us here. I want a full review of the needs. I've started a survey now myself, and thanks to the residents in Lishing Kyle and Derry Donald, they're helping me with that. I've had about 50 responses so far, what their needs are and how frequently they'd like to travel. But for Keith, we have 3,000 kids in secondary level. We have 6 national schools. Right, we have parents who are working, some of them 2 jobs. You know what I mean? It beggars belief how the NTA cannot see the needs. And I've been flagging this since last November. You know, I got engagement from the minister's office. They tell me, oh, no, the NTA are the ones with responsibility. I'm really, Keith, I'm so frustrated now with the NTA. They're really holding us back here in Athenry. They're holding up funding for many different road projects that I've put in for. 600,000, between 600,000 and 1 million we were approved for in 2020. Nothing since. A couple of pedestrian crossings since 2020. 4 years designs are held up now with the NTA. They're under review. It has to move now. And I have been on to the minister and I've asked for his intercession. In relation to getting things progressed, because we are a town in development. We have a number of fantastic new businesses coming, a multinational. You can see the development from the motorway. It's we cannot wait any longer now for appropriate services. And I would encourage anybody who is looking for a change in career even to get into bus driving. It can be so rewarding. I've spoken to... there's a retired bus driver living in Lishing Kyle now, and he couldn't speak highly enough of the job. 10 years ago, Keith, here in Athenry, we had a better bus air and service than we have today. The government have it in the programme of government to take cars off the road, but they're not providing buses. Now, if you look around, if you look at those 60 routes, Keith, there's one in Athenry. It just absolutely beggars belief they can be proud of that. You know what I mean?
I hate to burst your bubble, but your party is in government. So it is. While Fianna Fáil are in government, if you can't get something done, if Fianna Fáil are in opposition, you're not going to get anything at all. So, I mean, why not go back to your people in Dublin?
what the government have done, and I think they've made a mistake, is they've given the responsibility to the NTA. It's called the National Transport Authority. It was the Dublin Transport Authority, and I think they're still stuck inside the Pale, if you know what I mean.
It's not the first time I've heard that.
Services. Yeah, you know. So we're all talking about it here in the West of Ireland. I just feel like the West need to shout louder. And I'm not going to be backwards about going forward about shouting for the West of Ireland.
Well, that's where Independent Ireland and the people that have jumped ship from Fianna Fáil and Noel Thomas indeed and Seamus Walsh. But that's why they've done it, because somebody somewhere has dropped the ball. And that's where I think the Independent Ireland team are going to have a successful election.
The regions have to start shouting for themselves, but more locally, the councillors, like myself, have to start shouting for our locale, you know, and that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years, and I'll continue to do with the support of the electorate. But the point I'm making now is we can't wait any longer. You know, the cost of living has increased. The cost of diesel has increased. You know, they want us to take cars off the road. They're not providing the services to you know, service electric cars. Electric cars don't appear to be
Who can afford electric cars, Shelley?
Pardon?
Who can afford electric cars at this
stage? Well, they are very expensive. They're hard to sustain. The cost of charging them now has gone up. My husband has a hybrid. The cost of charging your electric car now has gone up if you go to a public charging point. You know, the ESB need to reduce the cost. If they reduced it by 20 cents, it would be more affordable. There's lots of factors at play here. But the most imminent one is we have to think about the kids who want to get to and from school more reliably. We have to think about our older population who are not driving anymore and just want to be able to get frequently into the town. You know, but Athenry in particular has been absolutely left behind here, and it's not good enough. So I'll be lobbying so hard now until I get a response from the NTA to properly and appropriately service Athenry.
Yeah, on the other side then, we're listening, and I was reading an article yesterday evening about the environment and what we need to do for the environment and all of that. And one bus could take so many cars off the road in Athenry, or Mount Cullen, or Barna, or otherwise, if we had a bus service that we could rely on.
Reliable and frequent, you know. Absolutely, because the number of car journeys, we've actually got traffic counters now on the Crowell Road here in Athenry, which is the road just past the graveyard, the cemetery, the new cemetery in Athenry. So there's two sets of traffic counters there measuring that road. If you were to put the same on the Old Dublin Road into Galway, towards Lishincoil and Derrydonnell out that side, the number of cars that you would find travelling that road frequently, regardless of the motorway, you know, is astronomical, I'd say, at this stage. But that's not what we want. So the NTA have to be more progressive. They have to deliver on the projects that they approved for funding active travel projects. But they also have to, I wonder if they've bitten off more than they can chew, really, Keith, because the amount of responsibility they have for road projects in the country, I just think is it seems to be more than they can handle, because nothing is getting delivered, just particularly here in the West. You know, and the counties are much different to the city. The city was funded millions they were funded to do things. active travel projects, safe routes to schools. Now, one thing I will say is we have very fortunately been approved for a number of safe routes to schools projects between Athenry and Oranmore. Which is good. There's five routes going to be rolled out this in the next, I think, 12 months, which is very good. But it's once those are developed in the towns and villages, right, like the village of Oranmore and the town of Athenry, the schools there would be walkable. That's fine. However, we still have a big catchment area of people who have to still drive, but they can't safely cycle, you know. So we've got to get the buses on the road. I'm calling on the NTA now to do a full needs analysis study, and on foot of that, to provide a service to the people who want to take the bus.
Listen, we have to leave it at that for today, but Councillor Shelley Hertridge-Quinn, thank you for joining us today. Hi, Keith. Billions being spent on greenways, which will only serve a few enthusiastic cyclists, but the roads and the bus service are being neglected. I've never seen the condition of the roads, especially rural roads, so bad. And I believe that this is leading to an awful lot of accidents too, this caller said. And does Ms. Gertrude Quinn not get it? Every promise is just an aspiration. I cannot get a big pothole filled, but your party and Simon promise a lot, but it never happens from there, this caller said. And other calls coming in too in relation to the quality of roads, Keith, in Galway. In most of the county it's fine, but some of the side roads need to be dealt with and resurfaced fully. And the sooner that's done, the better. And another caller said, I fully agree with Councillor Shelley Hertridge Quinn in relation to bus transport, but I live in Uachtarard and we have a good service going in and out of Galway City. But they need to put more buses on it, because once the bus gets to Uachtarard, sometimes it's full and they cannot take any more. Okay, keep those comments coming into us, 086 38 33 55 3. Keep them coming into us, please. Now, though, let's head towards the Galway BFM news desk for the 11 o'clock news and death notices. Stay tuned for that and more to come on today's programme.